being in His presence, wasn't it? And even just some of the words that came out and the words that we were singing us about, we lifting Him up, we coming really low before Him. And I mean, that's exactly what I feel is on the Lord's heart for us this morning. And you know, when we look at the Bible, when we look at the Word of God, it really shows us how to live, right? Have you read some of the practical things in the Bible? Often the Bible is very practical, and we do as a church believe that the Bible is the Word of God. The Old and the New Testaments, we don't add to it, we don't take away from it. It's something that we base our lives on. It's something that we direct our lives on is His Word. And a lot is said in the Bible on the way we should live our lives, you know, things that we should do, things that we need to avoid, things on how we live by the Spirit and not be a people that lives by the flesh. You know, it says a lot about the characteristics that not just leaders should carry, but actually every believer should carry in their lives. And in a sense, when we look at the Scriptures, when we look at the Word of God, I don't know about you, but I always go, oh my goodness, Lord, the standard is so high. How can we do this in our own strength? And often, and especially in the more traditional way of growing up, the Christian traditional way of growing up, you look at the Word of God and you think this is a set of rules that you need to, you know, comply with, and you kind of do your best to, you know, keep up with the rules. And can I say, for many years, that was my approach of Christianity, is, you know, fulfilling these list of rules. And for me personally, there was no life in approaching it that way. Until I gave my life to the Lord, and the Lord came and renewed my heart. He places the Spirit inside of me, and it's a relationship with Jesus that we live out now. Suddenly these things that we read about in Scripture comes alive. And so for us as Christians, we should actually pay close attention to what the Bible says on how we should live. Close attention. If you pay close attention to something, you are paying close attention to something. Like, nothing else is going to distract you. This is the Word of God that we need to pay close attention to. And so, it's not a set of rules. It really is, it's a manual that we live by. It's the manual that us as Christians, we live by. And there's a scripture in 2 Peter that says this. I didn't give that to you. That Jesus has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So He has given us everything that we need to live a godly life. And everything we need is often, it's the Word and the people around us, it's the Spirit inside of us. And so there's no excuse for us to not live a godly life. Amen? And so the standard is quite high. And this morning what I want to preach on, because why I'm saying this is we can miss what God has said. We can miss what God is saying. And we can miss what God wants to say and wants to come and do if we don't have a teachable heart. If we don't have teachable hearts, we're going to miss what God wants to come and do. And LaRue brought me a scripture about us humbling ourselves. I'm like, yeah, man, he has no clue what I'm preaching on. And it's literally what I'm preaching on. It's as we come humbly before Him with teachable hearts, we can actually listen to His voice and not miss what He wants to do. But only if we have teachable hearts. Recently, we bought a desk. So it's a lessonar. That we put in our guest room because we don't have, it's literally just a bed. And we decided, you know, let's put something there because often when people come and visit us, they obviously want to put things on something, you know. It's like that chair in your room. You guys know what I'm talking about. Where everything, it's not dirty yet, but it's not clean like for the cupboard, so it's on the chair. And so we needed something in our guest room, which is the desk. And it came in like this box that I had to assemble myself. Afterwards, I realized you can actually pay a little bit extra so that they can assemble it for you, which no one told me about. Because if you know me, I would pay extra for them to assemble it for me. And so I bought this desk and it came in this box, and I was looking at all these little plywood material, and just underneath the bottom of the box, there was a little manual that tells you how to, assemble it. And so for all the men here, who uses those type of manuals? Do you actually use it? That it's the teachable ones among us. I looked at that manual, I'm like, I'm sure it can't be that hard. And I tried figuring it out, and then I phoned Paul. It's like, really, you have a couple of hours to spare, come and help me. And so I was teachable to call upon someone else, realizing I can't do it on myself, you know. And often, sometimes we think, no, man, I don't need the manual. I don't need people around us. I can do this myself. And often, a heart of not being teachable creeps in. And I don't want to be too black and white with manuals that comes along with fridges and cupboards and those type of things. Because sometimes for men especially, I don't know about the women, it's quite stimulating to kind of figure this thing out myself, you know. So I'm not saying that you're unteachable when you do that. I'm saying often we use that same approach when it comes to our Christianity, our relationship with Jesus and one another. I actually don't need the people around me. I don't need to be taught, actually. And God is on the move. God really is on the move. I mean, it was quite a whirlwind of a first half of this year, wasn't it? This first couple of 6 months were just crazy. I was just battling to keep by. Honestly, I was like, there's so much happening. And often during this the school holiday time of the year, it's a time of just slowing down a little bit, and then suddenly from whenever, tomorrow, things pick up again, right? And often we think God only moves in the first 6 months of a year. But God wants to come and move in this last half of the year as well. And God is on the move. And if we switch off now because we think God has done something already, not looking ahead on what He still wants to come and do, we're going to miss out on what He wants to come and do in and through us. And so God is on the move. And if God wants to move, we need to be movable. You need to be movable. Otherwise, you're going to miss out. You're going to be left behind. If you're not staying in step with the Spirit, if God moves here, I move there. If God moves there, I move there. And it requires a teachable heart to recognize when God moves. Because if you're not teachable, you think God is moving left, right, then left again. How do you know that? As a people, we're just the people of the Spirit walking in step with Him, one step at a time. Lord, teach me Your ways. Lord, teach me what is the next step. I want to be someone that's close to You, that follows You. And so God is on the move. Are we movable? Are we teachable? And the word teachable, it means, and I actually want to say it in Afrikaans quickly, it means leerbaar, om leerbaar te wees. To be teachable is you are willing to be taught. Do you realize the significance of that? And I do want to say it's, let me share this just a little bit more of what it really means. It means you're putting yourself in a place where you are able to learn from someone. You're putting yourself in a place where you're able to be taught by someone. Like someone in a classroom, the students in a class. I mean, I wasn't very teachable during my school and university days. I was present, my bum was on the seat, but my heart wasn't teachable. And often in the way we follow the Lord is our bums are on the seats. I'm here, but is your heart teachable? It's a heart's posture. Do you get what I'm saying? Being teachable is not just saying the right things. It's a heart's posture with, Lord, I want to learn. I want to be taught because I know I don't know it all. I know I haven't arrived yet. And so someone once said, it's a beautiful little quote. It said, being teachable means having the mindset of a lifelong learner. Having a mindset of a lifelong learner. It means you're going to learn until the day you die. If you get that, you're on the right path of being teachable. But if you're in a place where you know, oh, man, I've studied, I've got all these years behind me, and I've been following the Lord for so long, and I'm in this leadership position and that function in a church, surely they shouldn't recognize me. Then you have lost the teachability in your heart. Whereas the Lord is calling us to be a lifelong learner of Him. So are you open to learn from anyone at any time on any topic? That's a challenge, right? Because sometimes we just want to go to the experts and learn from them. But are you able and willing to learn from anyone at any time on any topic? That's a heart posture that we need to have. And the reality is, if are you guys still with me? The reality is, if we feel like I've got everything sorted out, I've got everything figured out, just like that, spiritual pride creeps in. Spiritual pride will keep us from the presence of the Lord. Spiritual pride will tell you, man, you deserve the presence of the Lord. Whereas that's exactly the thing that will keep you from the presence of the Lord. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it's a well-known scripture. Jesus, let me read it. But Jesus gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And I think we all love that part of it. He gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. I want to be that guy. But then we forget about He opposes the proud. Like, yo, that suddenly is a different tone to it, right? I don't want to be that guy that God opposes. And often I've been that guy, and God is still often so gracious with me. Just as pride creeps in, I've been following the Lord now for 12 years, and even just saying that, I need to just humble myself. And so it's not about the number of years. It's not about... No, that's been longer than 12 years. I've been in ministry for 12 years. Yeah, there we go. I've been in ministry for 12 years. Saved for 16 years. My wife is keeping count. But who's counting, you know? We want to be humble. But it's not about the number of years. It's about how holy you are. It's about how close you are with Jesus. It's about how transformed you are to look like Him. You can follow the Lord for 30 years and you can still be an infant spiritually. Or you can follow the Lord for a couple of months and you can just, man, when people look at you, they just see Jesus. It's not about the number of years. It's about how submitted and yielded you are to Him. How humble you are in His presence. Because I don't want to be someone that God opposes. And when I do read the scriptures, it does seem like humble hearts attracts the favor of the Lord. Humble hearts attracts something of His presence. Whereas pride, when pride comes in, God opposes that. He says, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight with you in this way. You know, and often when pride comes in, or when we are not teachable, we justify our own actions. So these are clear signs that we have lost the humility. We justify our actions. We just quickly find fault in everything that other people do. Those are clear signs that our hearts aren't at a place where Jesus wants it to be. And so, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for us to be a people that's teachable? You know, and I think something that I look out for in my own life, and this might be something that you can look out in your own life as well, just to kind of determine, am I still teachable, is I look at my own devotion. How devoted am I? How devoted am I? Because if you lose your teachability, your devotion will soon follow, and there will be no devotion. And it's something that I often just ask you, Andrew, and ask people around me, hey, how devoted am I? What does it look like? Devoted into what? Not just the things of this world, right? Because devotion can often be misplaced. But devotion to Jesus. Devotion to Jesus. In our devotional times, that's why we call it devotional times, or quiet times, which hopefully is not quiet at all. Times where we get into His presence, where we are devoted in prayer, in the Word, just listening to His voice. Devotion to community. Devotion to fellowship. Devotion in the things that He has called us to do. Not devotion in what the world says we should be devoted to, but devotion in what He wants us to be devoted in. Devotion is often evident actually in our giving. Have you found that to be true? It's actually interesting. Something that we've realized over the years is when people join us or come visit us for the first time at church, they come in with their feet, right? They walk in, they are here, their feet are here, that's how they start. And then soon after, when they realize, I think God wants me here, okay, then the heart starts to follow. Then when the feet comes in, then the heart starts to follow. And then when the hearts are there, then the giving starts to happen. The finances start to be given because of the hearts being devoted. And that's often how people come in, right? But can I say that's how people leave as well? The finances draw back. Then the heart starts to draw back as well. And then the feet go as well. So if your finances are not devoted to the Lord through His way, be careful because your heart will go soon. And then your feet will just follow. And so we need to be careful. That's why the Lord speaks about money often. You can't serve God and money. If money has become an idol, this thing that you live your life for, then you'll start to keep it back from giving it to God, which is actually His. And the heart soon after will follow. So be very careful and watch the way you live. Watch the things that you are devoted to. And we all need to work on something, right? We all need to work on something, and we need to, actually. I mean, Proverbs 18, verse 1 to 2, again, I'm speaking about teachable hearts. Whoever isolates himself, seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So, one of those practical scriptures. We don't want to be someone that's devoted to ourselves and we isolate ourselves and we are not teachable to learn from others, right? So a couple of questions and then I'm going to land soon. On what it means to be teachable and the questions that I want us to ask ourselves. How often do you ask perspective into your own life? That's a good question, isn't it? Because if you don't ask perspective into your life, again, is there a teachability in your life? Are you inviting people into your life? Are you actually sitting and asking the Holy Spirit questions? Like, I know as believers, we believe that we do have the Holy Spirit, right? We do have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we often think the Holy Spirit is the one following us. It's like the tail, just kind of the third wheel on the, what do you call it, on the bike? I don't know. It's one of those Afrikaans things that you can't really translate in English. Derde wiel aan die wa. It doesn't make sense. But anyway, you get what I'm saying. We've all been there where you are the third guy when the couple is carrying next to you. You know what I mean? We often think the Holy Spirit is that guy that just tags along. No, the Holy Spirit is the very one that we need to actually follow. The Holy Spirit is actually the one that we need to listen to, that we need to turn our ears to and say, Lord, what do you want? And I follow. Are we doing that? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us? Are we inquiring from the Lord through the Word of God? Are we sitting with the Word of God and we're reading it because, Lord, I want to know how I should live? I've got questions in my heart. I've got unsettledness in my heart, maybe. And I'm in the Word. I'm looking for Him. I'm seeking Him in His presence. I want to find Him. Are we inquiring from Him in prayer? I mean, that's something that I felt a couple of months ago, and I told Temba as well. I think the Lord wants us to be a praying church. I don't think it's something that we're strong at all. And we're gonna trust that the Lord will come and build this value into us. There's a couple of other things that's on my heart for this couple of months that's ahead of us as well. Are we devoted to go and sit and, Lord, what do you want for us as your church? Because often we think, no, I'll tell him what he wants for his church. I know better. I've been doing this for these number of years. And we lose the teachability of sitting and listening to him. Sitting and listening to him. Oh man, we need him, eh? So often it's just so easy to work out of our own strength. So easy to work out of our own strength because we've been doing this day in, day out. We know how it works. We know how to do the right things, say the right things, join the right things. And often we just start in the spirit when we give our lives to the Lord and then we end in the flesh, right? We end in our own strength or we drift. And we need to be a people that relies solely on Him. Lord, we need your strength. We need you, Lord. Like even this morning, it was such a beautiful time for me, to be honest. I was like, I really felt His presence. And there are Sundays where I don't feel His presence, to be honest. There are Sundays where we're doing this out of faithfulness. We want to be obedient people and we just keep going. But then there are Sundays where you just feel His presence, where it's different. It's often different. It's difficult to explain at times, but it's just, I've got a little agenda on my notes here, but I'm just standing here like, Lord, I'm so scared to move, actually, because I'm scared I'm going to move in the flesh. I wish the Lord can just stand here and just lead the meeting. You know what I mean? Because leading meetings are difficult. You need to kind of find the Lord and through the prophetic, just, Lord, what direction are you going? But this morning was one of those times we don't want to even interrupt this worship time. Just, Lord, just want to worship you. We just worship you. It's beautiful, isn't it? And I want to call us as a church, even being in Josh Jane, sometimes we think, no, we are doing great. We are healthy. And I do think there's a measure of health. But so often we can drift into our own strength. We can drift into what we have seen work. We can drift into our own plans. But are we a church that's led by the Spirit? And being a church that's led by the Spirit isn't sitting on this side and, oh, I hope those guys are led by the Spirit. It means each one of you listens to His voice. Each one of you hears Him. You are walking in obedience. And as you walk in obedience, the favor and the presence of the Lord breaks out in our meetings. And hopefully the leaders hear the voice of the Lord as well. But the people of God, we, each one of us, have a role to play in being a healthy church. And it requires us to be teachable. And so I've chatted to Tema as well many times. Often when we look at potential leaders, we look at, oh, is this person teachable? Is this person teachable? And it doesn't mean you have to be passive and not say anything and not challenge anything. Is your heart teachable? Are you able to be taught? Do you come with a heart posture of humility, bringing perspective and not demanding change? Often things that we look at. Often we look at, is this person hungry to learn? I've been looking at Helmut. He stayed with us for a whole week. And I mean, he's so experienced. I mean, many more years under the belt than I've got. But still, he was asking questions and wanting to learn, hungry to learn, hungry for the more. I was like, man, that's beautiful. We need leaders that are hungry to learn, hungry to grow, with a genuine humility, willing to be taught. And I wonder if I can end with this scripture. And I want to remind us, just as I read it, that God is on the move. He wants to move. And we need to be movable. We need to be movable. And He moves through the humble, right? He moves through the humble. He moves through the teachable. He moves through those whose hearts are soft and burning for Him. It's quite a long scripture in Philippians 2, verse 1. I'm going to read till 11. So focus with me. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. And I hope you're reading what a humble life looks like. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, which is, it explains to us in verse 6, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yeah. It's one of those things, like I said in the beginning, you look at Jesus' standard and you go, oh my goodness. How often do we count ourselves more important than others? So just many things, you know. But I do feel like there's a moment for us to respond in His presence this morning and say, Lord, come and have your way in my heart. Come and have your way with my life. I want to be someone that's teachable. I want to be someone that you can use. You know, and I do want to just say, maybe there's some of you this morning, as I refer to, we need to respond this morning, you already go like, oh, I don't have the capacity to respond. I don't have the energy to respond again. And I want to say that your heart is in a dangerous place. And maybe it's exactly you that need to respond. Because when the Lord brings conviction, your capacity doesn't matter. Your energy doesn't matter. How you feel today, how you woke up this morning doesn't matter. When the Lord brings conviction, we need to be those that goes low and say, yes, Lord, I listen to you. I yield to you. Come and correct me where I need correction, Lord. Come and change something in me that needs change. Because otherwise we are a people that's led by our flesh. That's led by our emotion. And we want to be a people that's led by the Spirit, which means when the Spirit leads, we follow. When the Spirit speaks and brings conviction, we respond. Because if we don't respond and we just move on, I'll change tomorrow. There's an anointing in the very moment where the Lord wants to move. And if we miss that, how certain are we that the anointing will be there tomorrow? Tomorrow, now I actually feel better now. It happens. But there's a moment. That's why we call for a response after messages. Because the Lord is moving in this moment. And we don't want to miss what He wants to do. And so if the Lord is bringing a conviction to your heart, open your heart in this moment. Be ready to respond. And just before I ask us to respond to this message, I want to remind us, and maybe we can close our eyes. I want to remind us of something, and I want to pray for a group of people. In Philippians 2, I just read it. with your eyes closed, just listen to this scripture again from verse 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.